only should a pastor care and tend the flock, he ought to warn them and protect them as well. And so this morning we're going to look at something just around the corner as far as our calendar in America speaks to. But how should we look at Halloween as Christians? As Christians. You know, 20 years ago, or excuse me, October 20th, almost 20 years ago, about 18 years ago, at a Maryland high school, there was a 15-year-old named Jamie Schoonover. She was sent home with a reprimand, a little pink slip, written to her mother that said that she had been suspended for putting a spell on a fellow student. Well, she said, I didn't put a spell, although she claimed to be a witch and the daughter of a witch. And that was 18 years ago. And I'll tell you, things haven't gotten any better in our society. As a matter of fact, there seems to be a national fascination with witchcraft. You know, a lot of estimates vary here in America, but as of 2000, I know it's a long time ago, but that's the latest statistic I could find, there were more than 750,000 practitioners of Wicca in the United States. And I'll be honest with you, over the last 15 years, I believe that number has skyrocketed. Adherents to the religion, both male and female, call themselves witches or Wiccans. And they are actively battling for religious acceptance and tolerance for their beliefs. They're making inroads even into the military as being represented by chaplains and things like that. And at one time, Wicca was the fastest growing religion in America. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we read our text this morning. I want to start reading in chapter 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. We know that Saul here was acting in desperation. Samuel had just passed off the scene. God was completely silent to Saul because he had tried to do things his own way. He never really repents, and so he was always looking for a way to justify or a way to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, how he wants to accomplish it. But now he's stricken in fear, and rather than waiting on God, rather than repenting and looking for God's mercies, he said, I'm going to go another way. And he seeks out this witch. A witch, by the way, that he had commanded to be put to death when he had commanded the land to be purged from all these necromancers and witches and all these people that used familiar spirits. There was a time in his life where he knew what was right. And he went back on that and really was almost a lost cause after that. I wonder if you realize one of the earliest traces or mentions of Halloween that I could find is in the Celtic festival, Samhain. Now, if you look and see how that's spelled and you try to pronounce it the correct way, you'll never get it right. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain, which is October 31st. It is for the Celtic and Wiccans their new year. And Samhain is an Irish Gaelic term or phrase for summer's end. And the night was believed by the Druids, those were the Celtic pagans, that the spirit of those who died the preceding year roamed the earth that night, the night of Samhain. Now the Druids celebrated this holiday with a great fire festival to encourage the dimming sun not to vanish. Some people believe that these bonfires are really what they used to call bone fires because they would burn the bones of people. Often they would have sacrifices of people that they've killed and they would burn them and they would try to divinate depending on how the body lurches. It's just very disgusting to read about some of the things that they would do in their practices. But some believe that those bone fires were not only to appease the sun and try to keep it from vanishing or come back the next year, it was to recharge the sun. And they just had what we would consider ridiculous ideas. but people would dance around these bonfires to try to keep evil spirits away. But they would leave their doors open in their houses with often a plate of food at the table in order to just in case one of their departed loved ones would come back. They didn't want them to be offended that there wasn't a place setting for them. But on this night, divination was thought to be more effective than at any other night of the year. And so things that I've always seen as being very harmless were actually often used as ways of divination back in history, back in the several thousand years ago. And isn't it interesting that something as silly as bobbing for apples was what they would use to divinate a potential future spouse? I mean, I laugh at some of these things. They're so very, very superstitious. By the way, Christians are not to be superstitious. We have the truth. We don't have to worry about black cats or walking under ladders or breaking mirrors or all the silly things that the world goes by. Listen, we don't have to believe in luck or bad luck. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, that Samhain celebration was the precursor to what we call Halloween. Have you noticed in recent years how the masks and the costumes are getting generally more gory and bloody and macabre and really more depraved each year? Unfortunately, the gruesome and the grotesque and the occult are increasingly glorified in our culture here in America today. I want you to get your mind to wrap around this. In 2015, nearly $7 billion will be spent on celebrating Halloween, whether that is with costumes or candy or decorations or whatever it might be. It is only eclipsed by Christmas as a spending holiday. So it's the second most spent on holiday in America today, if you can imagine that. As a matter of fact, on those that are celebrating, it averages out to about $74 per either family or person on those decorations or candy or costume. That's hard to believe, $74 to go celebrate Halloween. Now, the name Halloween comes from the All Saints' Day celebration of the early Catholic Church, a day set aside for remembering their martyrs. Now, All Hallows' Eve was the evening before All Saints' Day, and that would really begin the time of observance or remembrance. So All Hallows' Eve was eventually contracted down to Halloween, or All Hallows' Eve. Listen, as Christianity moved through Europe, it collided with the religions, the pagan religions that were already there. And it was confronted by the customs that were there as well. And so pagan holidays and festivals were so entrenched in the culture there that the new converts found them to be a stumbling block to their faith. So to deal with the problem, the Catholic Church would commonly move the distinctively Christian holidays to a spot on the calendar that would directly overlay or challenge the pagan holiday. Now, the intent was to counter the pagan influences and provide a Christian alternative or influence to those pagan holidays. But most often, the church only succeeded in Christianizing those pagan holidays and those rituals. The ritual was still pagan, but it was now mixed with Christian symbolism. And I believe that's what happened to All Saints' Eve. It was the original Halloween. Now, listen, like so many things that straddle the boundary between the mainstream and the fringe, Hollywood and sectors of the media have really emphasized the mentality of this, the witches and the magic and all these things that come along and the macabre and all the depravity that comes along with Halloween, including books, magazines, and movies. They've glorified the subject matter of witches and druids and the occult. Listen, there has been an explosion of books and movies and even magazine articles. As a matter of fact, just a few years ago, Spin Magazine, it's a very secular magazine, in its Girl Power issue, ranked witchcraft as the top interest among teenage girls. That's distressing. I hope you are distressed to hear that. After the first Harry Potter book released in the 1990s, even advertisers were trying to charm their customers. Listen, Finesse Shampoo and CoverGirl Cosmetic, they would all have some kind of witches or wizards in their commercials. Why? Because it appeals to the culture today. Isn't it interesting that Harry Potter books and movies would only be released at midnight and not before? The booksellers would be penalized if they started sales any earlier than that. You know, I read somewhere that J.K. Rowling, who is the author of those Harry Potter books, says she really didn't know anything about witchcraft. But I have read many different articles of people that used to be involved in that lifestyle that said that Harry Potter is nothing more than an introduction to the occult for young people. And I believe Satan is playing a very nasty trick on our children. Let me tell you, Harry Potter was a booming marketing juggernaut, and still is, really. But here's the problem with the Harry Potter series and the ones like it. They're presenting two kinds of witches and wizards. They have the good wizards or witches and the bad witches and wizards. And so these books and movies offer that built-in contrast so that no one looks elsewhere for a contrast. That is, the good witches look very good compared to the evil or wicked witches. Listen, let me tell you, the psychological effect is that the mind of the reader or the viewer becomes satisfied with that fair balance that they perceive to be in that book or movie and sees no reason to look outside of the movie or book for more accurate information. And so listen, consequently, millions of people will read Harry Potter books and listen, they'll never read the Bible to see what God has said about witches and witchcraft. One person, after watching a Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, said, "Yes, there's witchcraft, but it is mostly good witchcraft." Good witchcraft? Who said it was good? It wasn't God. God certainly didn't give anyone this impression. So it must have come from that movie or that book. Sadly, that young person has only been given one side of the story. That's Hollywood's side. That is the world's side. In this passage of Scripture, we're given an insight to a man that turns from God and enters into the occult. Now, we don't see it that way. Often we just say, hey, he went to see a witch. But do you understand that witch had to have been a devil worshiper? You say, did she really conjure up Saul? I believe by the power of God, not by the power of Satan, you understand? She was surprised when Saul showed up. She was shocked. God had a message for Saul, and I don't think he liked it very much. But in Deuteronomy 18, the Bible says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter of a witch, or charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." That's someone who talks with the dead. "For all that do these things are..." What? "An abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observers of times and unto the diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." What is he saying? He's saying he is sending judgment on those nations because they have gotten mixed up with this witchcraft. Now listen, I understand that that passage is in the Old Testament. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Has he changed his mind at all? Are the principles for today any different than they were when he gave them to the principles to the children of Israel? Now I want you to remember, what do we always say? The children of Israel are a picture of what in the New Testament? And don't say church. It's a picture of individual believers. And so oftentimes, I want you to be careful, and I want you to have some discernment, but I want you to understand that oftentimes you can read a command that was given to the children of Israel, and you can take it as something that's been given to the New Testament believer. Because the principle is the same. not because we're under the law, not because we're under some kind of bondage. If you come Wednesday night, you'll realize very quickly that we're going through Galatians, that salvation is not about bondage. But I'll tell you, we still serve a holy God, and His ideas of what is just and right and good have not changed from one testament to the next. So I want you to think about that. If God does still hold to this principle, then Satan is lying to us in those books and in those movies. In essence, God is saying that TV shows glorifying witches and warlocks are what? An abomination. God said that Harry Potter and his friends are what then? An abomination. Some people say, listen, I've heard parents say this, I'm just glad my kids are reading. Hey, listen, it's important not just that they read, it's very important what they read. The question is, do you have the courage to believe God and recognize Satan's sanitation, his cleaning up, whitewashing of witchcraft? I'll tell you, I grew up in a home that went trick-or-treating, and for the longest time, you had it in, even as a Christian, I think, boy, my kids are going to miss out. Miss out on what? Glorifying something other than Christ? You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall he use enchantment, nor observe times. He says again, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That's in Leviticus 19, 26 and 31. He says again, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul. Now wait a second. In 1 Chronicles 7:14, he's saying if we search him, if we confess our sins as a nation, if we will pursue after him, he will send and bless this land. That's a great promise for revival. But if we are embracing witchcraft and witches and the things that God calls abomination, can this country ever come to revival? There's no way. Because he said he will set his face against a nation that pursues those things that he calls an abomination. My question is, have you seen any good witches or good wizards in those passages? No. If you go to Galatians 5, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read just the first part of the first verse, Galatians 5:19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. And he goes on to say, which are these? And he starts listing some of the sins of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Hey, listen, it was still prevalent even in Paul's time. And he says there's nothing that Christians should have a part of with it. Still, we haven't seen any good witches. Why? Because God doesn't make any distinction between good witches and evil witches. Every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every sorcerer in the Bible is evil in the sight of God. Think about Acts 13, verses 8 through 10. There was a sorcerer by the name of Elymas. And he withstood Paul, and he was seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, listen what Paul says to this sorcerer. Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Do you hear what he says? Thou child of the devil? Thou enemy of all righteousness? That's pretty strong. You say, Pastor, you're getting pretty excited over dressing up and going out and getting some candy. That's not what I'm getting excited about at all. Witches, wizards, and sorcerers are children of Satan, according to that passage of Scripture. They may look cute. Listen, they may make you laugh. They may make you cry. But God said that they are an abomination. Furthermore, rather than seeking entertainment from these evil characters, we've been commanded to separate ourselves from them. We've been commanded to expose them for the workers of iniquity that they really are. Think about Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. No fellowship. You know what that means? It means it's wrong to read their books. You know what no fellowship means? It means it's wrong to go and watch their movies. In the Bible, God's people hated witchcraft so much that when they got right with God, they threw their witchcraft books and their spell books into a great big giant fire in Acts 19. Yet today we have people entertaining themselves with it. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave or hold on to me. Psalm 101:3. Friend, let me tell you, don't comfort yourself with the idea that it's okay to look or watch witchcraft as long as you don't practice it. God said, no wicked thing should be set before your eyes, and no wicked thought should enter our heart. You know, modern day Wiccans draw their root from the Celtic Druids. And we would agree that we wouldn't participate in a Wiccan worship service. At least I hope you would agree that you wouldn't celebrate a Wiccan holiday. But I fear many Christians do participate in a day reserved for the worship of dead spirits. Now listen, you may ask yourself this question, Pastor, does that mean we have to go back hundreds, if not thousands of years to determine if we can celebrate any holiday? What should be the benchmark or the litmus test before we as Christians partake of some holiday or celebration? Well, one author wrote that just before reaching a conclusion on the subject, he thought that maybe he should study what the Wiccans believe about Halloween today. That's the official religion of witchcraft. He thought maybe they would just view the day as a simple, fun, and innocent neighborhood activity. He says this, shock is the only word to describe what I found. Halloween is a real sacred day for those who follow Wicca. In fact, it is one of two high and holy days for them. The Celtic belief of spirits being released is current, means it's happening right now, along with the worship of Samhain, which was not only the end of summer, but is also considered the Lord of Death. Both are promoted as something to embrace on that day. There is no question in my mind that to those who believe and follow the practices of witchcraft, Halloween represents an opportunity to embrace the evil, devilish, dark side of the spiritual world. So, what should Christians' interaction with Halloween be? First of all, I think it's very important that we teach our young people that they are not missing out. They're not missing out on anything. Hey, listen, you know what? If you want your kids to dress up sometime, I'm not against dressing up. Go the week after Halloween and get some great discounts on your Indian and cowboy outfits that they'll want to dress in for the rest of the year. If you think they're going to miss out on getting candy with hypodermic needles in there, look, go get them some safe candy and let them something to eat. But listen, going out door to door and partaking and really reinforcing the idea, well, we'll talk about it in just a second, of what God calls an abomination, I believe, is dangerous for young people. I think Christians should be teaching their children, age appropriately, as they grow up and they can understand more, that there is a spiritual world filled with goodness from God and evil from Satan. And listen, I'm not at war with Wiccans. I'm not at war with witches or J.K. Rowling or Harry Potter. But because our weapons of warfare are not of flesh and blood. Isn't there principalities and powers that are in play here? And your children and your young people and you need to realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. Our young people need to understand that Christ has power over darkness. Listen, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And while there's a glorification of the macabre and the devilish and just the wickedness of this world and depravity on October 31st, it's good to remind your children that God has already won the final battle. Listen, I believe there are those that celebrate Halloween. Maybe they're unaware of its roots or really have never really thought about the consequences, whatever the case may be. I've had some people say, listen, it's a liberty that we have. It's a soul-conscious liberty. And there is some truth to that. My job as a pastor as I said, as I started, is to simply warn. It's your responsibility to look and see what I've said this morning is biblical and true. Listen, don't let your emotions get involved. Don't think about how you grew up. Don't think about the different things that you think you might be missing out on. Think, what has God said? And then make your mind up on what God has said. Now, the truth of the matter is, there is some individual soul liberty, is there not? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul said, "But meat commendeth not to God, neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." So I believe there is room for individual soul liberty. Some people may say, hey, I'm going to pass out tracts when I pass out candy. We did that one year. We passed out several hundred tracts. Some people say, hey, I'm just getting dressed up, and I don't see anything wrong. I disagree with that, but there is some room for individual soul liberty. But I want you to hear what Paul says after he says that. He says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And for you, you may say, listen, Halloween's no big deal. It's just another day. But for your children, they don't know that. And it might be a stumbling block for them. I believe that it could be often that Halloween is an introduction to the occult for young people because it's so prevalent. There becomes an interest, a drive. There's Halloween parties that they may go to. I was reading a former witch who's now born again and said his introduction to witchcraft was at a very young age at a Halloween party where a Ouija board was pulled out. Now we say, listen, we'd never have those things. But you know, if you're going to a Halloween party, what message are you still sending? I believe it helps to exalt a day that is recognized by our society and our culture to be a day reserved for darkness, for the underworld, for those things that are an abomination to an almighty God. But not only that, I fear that when we participate in something like Halloween, we normalize sin in our children's life. We say, this is no big deal. It's hard sometimes when we say, listen, I had fun going out when I was a kid. But you know what? I wasn't saved. My parents weren't saved. And we have to remember, what's more important? Man, there's so many other things that we can say yes to our children about. Why not give them the best and highest example and say, listen, this is what God expects from his children. There are so many other things that we can do rather than celebrate a day that I believe Satan glorifies in, realizing so many Christians are celebrating his day. Now, again, Christ is stronger than Satan, but I don't want to give him any recognition at all. So, as your pastor, I say, toss it to the side. Hey, listen, maybe you don't want to have anything to do with it all. Shut your light off. Don't worry about them coming up. Whatever avenue you take, make sure that it abides by God's word and not your feelings and not the way that you were brought up, whether you had it or didn't have it. But do it because God has said to do it. And don't do it because God has said don't do it. Listen, Halloween, I don't think that God is pleased when Christians participate. Let's pray.